As always, it's my prayer that you're doing well today. You know, I was reflecting on my past recently, and a number of years ago, actually almost half a century ago, I guess, I worked as a carpenter. I began in high school being a carpenter's helper. I would do it on weekends and when I had time off, and then all through the summer. And over several years, I was able to move up and not only be there to hand them the board or cut the wood, I was able to start doing the work of a carpenter, which has served me throughout my life. I still love to do woodwork, and I've put additions on houses and other things because I just enjoy that kind of work. But at one point in my job with this particular contractor, his name was actually Tommy Hatfield, he allowed me to become part of what's called the trim crew. Now, a trim crew would be those carpenters that go in toward the end of the house and they lay baseboard and they put the casing around the windows and around doors and they hang doors. And it's a little bit more refined than rough carpentry. I was pretty good at rough carpentry. When they put me on the trim crew, things began to slow down because you have to make the proper cut and have the proper angle and know how to cope out the wood to make a nice tight fit. And I began to learn to do it and was good enough to stay on the trim crew. However, there was an older man on this particular crew that really was excellent at trim work. And not only was he excellent, he seemed to get it done faster than anyone else. So finally, I swallowed my own pride and I went to him. His name was Colin Lewis, and I asked him if it'd help me. Because it was clear that his way of doing trim was a whole lot better than my way of doing trim. And so he took me under his wings. He taught me some tricks. He taught me how to better use some of the tools. And pretty soon, a lot of the frustration that I had with trim went away. I became better at it. I was faster. And there was far less frustration. All because I found out that here's a guy that really knew how to do that work. There are a lot of different ways that people approach doing trim carpentry, but I think his way was the best way, and I'm glad I took the time to learn it. Now, this came to mind because I was reading scripture, and there's a passage that's in Exodus chapter 33 that really grabbed my attention. Moses is preparing more and more to lead these children that are somewhat rebellious through the wilderness to God's promised land. And this is a little exchange he has with God. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." Then he goes on and says, the Lord says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Moses then responds, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us?" Now, I have focused on the second half of this scripture many times. As a matter of fact, it's the hinge pin, if you will, for a whole seminar I do called Becoming the People of the Presence. How do we become people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we have the sense of God's presence with us? Very important topic. But I've never spent a lot of time thinking about the first half of the passage I read you until the other night as I was reading. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Now, that's exactly what I went and asked of Colin Lewis. Of course, my situation was just a very narrow slice of life, learning how to be a better trim carpenter. But the phrase stood out. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Moses realized that there may be many ways to do life and many ways to lead people across the desert, but he recognized that he had a desire to know God and to be resting in the favor of God. And if that was going to happen, Moses believed he had to learn God's way. What was God's path? How did God do things? What was the flow of his way that Moses could get in, and then all of a sudden he would find that he was walking closer to God and in the favor of God? You know, this is picked up by David in the Psalms. Here in Psalm 25, listen to what David says. In you, Lord, I put my trust. I trust in you. Don't let me be put to shame. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come to those who are treacherous. Listen to this. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Here we have it again. Many ways to do life, many ways to respond to circumstances and situations. But David, like Moses, is saying to God, teach me your way. Then it goes on, guide me in your truth. Teach me, God. Later on, it says that the God is upright and good, and he will instruct sinners in his ways, and he will guide the humble in what is right. And again, he says, and teaches them his way. Now, we've mentioned this before, that it's not enough to walk the way of Jesus. You have to walk the way of Jesus the way Jesus walks the way. But I think what's very important in this passage of Scripture is this prayer, oh God, teach me your way. The way God responds, the way God reacts, the way God acts is different than the way most people live their lives. And if we want to know him more, if we want his favor in life, it's very, very important that we learn the way of God. That's a foundational principle that I think we need to think about today. God, teach me your ways. Life offers so many circumstances and situations, from the very difficult to moments of joy. But in all of them, there is a way of God. And I believe God wants his children to learn that way and to walk in that way. And I think it's important that we don't think that that's our natural tendency to respond and react in life the way God does. I think our natural tendency is to respond and react in life the way we've picked up from other folk. But God wants us to flow in the movement of his kingdom. Do you remember the passage of Scripture that comes in Isaiah? In Isaiah, God says that his way is not necessarily our way, and our way is not his way. The actual scripture says this in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And what God wants to do is to align us so that we begin to respond to life the way he would have us do that. Now, if I were to do the prayer of Exalman and spend some time reflecting on the past 24 hours, I would be able to find there were a lot of times that I not only didn't notice blessings great and small, but there were times that I'm pretty sure I didn't respond to a circumstance in life the way God would have responded. It doesn't mean I necessarily did something bad. I just didn't do what was best. And so the cry of my heart needs to be the cry of Moses and the cry of David. Teach me your ways. Guide me in your path. Let me walk out life the way you walk out life. Now, I'm sure right now one of the questions that's rising in you is, well, how exactly do we do that? Well, the starting point is to take our Bible and read the Gospels and look at the way Jesus responded in life. He did things that were not the way other people did. The people of that time would make fun of the broken. They would alienate the broken. They would yell unclean as the broken came near. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus showed compassion. He wasn't judgmental. He came to save. And then Jesus gives this amazing sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount that has all kinds of teachings in it about what is the way of God. And some of them are absolutely stunning. He talks about the way you treat enemies. That anybody can love somebody that loves them back, but can you love an enemy? Can you be generous with an enemy? Can you forgive an enemy? He talks about not being judgmental, even when we're pretty sure what someone else did was wrong. He goes on and he talks about our thought life. He talks about caring for those that are broken and battered. What Jesus is showing us there is that there is a way of God. There's a way to live that keeps us in the flow of God's love, that keeps us centered at home in the house of His love. And what God wants us to do is to learn that way and choose into that way, even when the world is choosing contrary to that way. As the world seeks to isolate, we embrace. As the world seeks to judge, we forgive. As the world seeks to grab, we are to be generous. As the world speaks out with vitriol and hate, we are to respect and to love one another. Now, those are basic teachings, but there's even more that we can do when we're crying out, "Oh Lord, teach me your way." And by the way, today, this very day, in listening to this, you're going to have an opportunity to choose either into the way of Christ or into an alternate way that might not even seem like a bad way. And yet what the Lord wants us to do is to look at the way of Jesus and lean in and make that choice. Let God teach us His way. Now, another thing is not only go to Scripture and look at the life of Jesus and ask God to empower you, but to remember the presence of the Holy Spirit deep inside of us all. The Holy Spirit's here as our helper. Well, what is He to help us do? Walk in the way of Christ. Remind us of the teachings of the way. Now, I am convinced, because you listen to this podcast, that deep inside you have a desire to know Christ more and that you want His favor upon your life. Well, there is a place where His favor comes down like rain, and that place is when we're in the flow of His kingdom. It's the natural outcome of walking the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. And I think it's important that we come back to this over and over again, especially we live in a world with the media pressing at us at all times. And many times the media is giving us an agenda that's very self-seeking. It can be selfish. It can be about exclusion and not embrace. But here is the Lord flowing in His kingdom and saying to all His children, let the prayer of Moses and the prayer of David become your prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I might walk in it, that I might know you more, that I might rest in your favor. That's a great teaching from the Lord here today. And I'm going to pray it for my life. Today, as I look at circumstances, may I please respond, Lord, by leaning into the Spirit and choosing the way of the kingdom. Again, the virtues and values of the kingdom. Would you do that also? I bless you today with a deep hunger to know God, to live in His favor, to sense His presence with you, a deep hunger to say, Lord, teach me your way.